It says, he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, today, I pray you open our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, may you be exalted in this room this day. Spirit of God, how we need you to illuminate your word, our hearts, our minds to the things of God. For without you, we are indeed nothing. And so we ask, Lord, not for your help. We need more than your help. We need you. Lord, for we are unable, simply impossible for us to do a work in the hearts of others about us. And so we're asking you to do what you can only do. Bless in the only way you can do it. For Lord, we are in need of you today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I find here in this scripture our Lord about to go into, and actually is at this time, you know, the great trial of his life. He is about to enter into the judgment hall, there to spend the night being criticized, spend the night with the soldiers as they torture him, and then the next day to be taken to the hill of Golgotha and there to be crucified for you and for me. As we behold the words that our Lord had here in the prayer that he has in verse number 42, we must be reminded that he is God. He is God. We must be reminded here that this our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the exalted one. He is the one who has lived in glory. He is the one that was admired by the angels and adored. He is the song, if you please, of the seraphim about the throne of God. He's the crown jewel of heaven. Our Lord, he is the Lamb that the 24 elders saw come from the throne of God. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom God the Father sent down from the glories of heaven to be humbled and to be brought into this earth, be given a body that's like yours and like mine. A body that is subject to pain. A body that we find the Lord Jesus saying, I thirst. The body that had hunger. The body that endured even unto death. This is our God who came to this world to be like you and I. Entering this world as you and I do through the birth canal of a woman. Born into a place that you and I would think was despicable for a person to be born. It was a manger. A barn, if you please. A place that what we find from historians tell us was a barn or a cave or a manger that was specifically designed to bring ewes who were heavy with lamb, that they might birth their lambs there in protection. And so here in this lamb birthing station, if you please, our Savior who became and who is the Lamb of God to the world was born that you and I might have everlasting life. We look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, born to Mary and Joseph. Joseph, a carpenter, a trade that in that day was not a very good trade, a trade that did not pay very well, that which did not bring great wealth to the family. Matter of fact, they were so poor that the Lord had to bring three men at least from far country, the east, bearing gifts that they might have finances to flee to the land of Egypt as Herod sought to kill the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. They experienced poverty in growing up. The Lord never had anything really He could call His own, even throughout His ministry. At one point, He said, the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests. But He says, the Son of Man hath not a place to lay His own head. Did not even own a pillow. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ had, at His death, His garments stolen away. One was gambled for, the other was parted. And in death, He was left naked upon a cross with nothing that was His own. Though He flung the world into space, and though our Savior at creation spoke and this world came into existence, throughout His lifetime and His ministry, He was one who was buffeted and misunderstood. He was one that was not considered to be anything great. Matter of fact, those who were in power mocked Him, and those who had positions did not appreciate the throngs that did come to Him. And yet we never see Him complaining. We never see Him concerned about His needs, for He said that God would take care. He did not have the desires that others seemed to have, did not be concerned about the things of this world. But He came here for a purpose, and that was to teach the truth of Almighty God. We find that He taught the people. We find that they came and those who were sick and they would be healed. They were not brought through some sort of line at the outset of the meeting and there they'd be called out for those who would be acceptable for the healing meeting. No, our Lord took any and all. And He healed the sick. We find that there were those who were lepers that came. A disease that is actually without any cure. And they would go away whole. Those who came with demons would often go away without the demons as He cast them forth, and they were subject unto Him. We find our Savior had power over the creation that He had spoken into existence. A little boy with a lunch, and He took that lunch, and as He divided it, it multiplied, and it multiplied. And 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children that were present, ate of that little boy's lunch. Our Lord was powerful and displayed that on a number of different occasions. Our Lord had compassion upon all those that were round about Him. He is our Savior. In the hours of His death, it was never about His needs as He hung upon the cross of Calvary, but it was for love of those who mocked Him. He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hanging upon that cross, rather than concern for Himself, He looked down at His mother and He said to John to take her home with Him and to care for her, to take care of her. We find our Savior in those dying moments as He was saying, would You provide for my mother? His own father was forsaking Him. And He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? This is our Savior. The one who did all for you and did all for me. The one who endured that you and I might have life everlasting. Then we read these words in verse 42. If Thou will be willing, remove this cup from me. Though He was sent for the very purpose, and though He knew why He came, and yet in that body, in that moment, He said, God, if You will, would You remove that? But I want you to notice how He marked these words. Because it'd be very, very important to you and I. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but Thine. He is asking God to accomplish His will through Him at whatever the cost. And being God, He knew that it was going to be. You see, though He lived in this world in a body like you and I, and though He was born to a woman as you and I, and though He experienced all the things that you and I do, yet He was without sin. But within Him lie that desire to live and not to die. And yet He was willing to give of His life. You see, it was never about what He wanted to do. And I believe this prayer is to show to you and I that it wasn't about His man and His desires like you and I, but it was a total obedience and a thrusting of His will into the Father's will. Nevertheless, He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not what He wanted to do, but what God wanted to be done. So often as we look in our own lives, we stop and we think of this and that as we plan this and we plan that. It is without any thoughts of what God wants to have done. But not so with our Savior. It was all about that. Aren't you glad the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Because of that love of the Father, the Son is given that you and I might have everlasting life. Why? Because He was willing to put His will into the will of the Father. It was never about His needs, let alone His desires. It wasn't about things happening to Him that might be desirous, but it was simply about following the will and the dictates of Almighty God. You see, Jesus came to be our Savior, but also our blessed example. To fold His will into the will of the Father. Not to be one who complained, not to be one who was looking at how am I being treated, but one who was looking at how am I treating the will of my Father. This is our Savior. This is our Jesus. It was never about His needs, but about His desires. It was never about all the things that were taking place in the world. It wasn't about the political scene. The only thing that seems that we find that bothered the Lord Jesus that took place was the sin of mankind, especially that of hypocrisy. That of those who pretended to be religious, those who had their own way to come to God rather than His own. And our Savior was one who had His eye upon the objective. And though He comes to this moment and He prays and He's in such agony, the Bible says that He is having sweat come from His brow. The sweat comes from His body. And as it comes, it's described as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So intense is His time. So much is He into this. So much is His body even grappling in this time of prayer. And the sweat pours forth, but even the blood begins to ooze through the body's pores. As He's seeking after God, because He is about to go into the place God has never been before. God, who is eternal, is about to, because He brought this Himself into this world in the form of a body, is about to go through the horrors of death. And so He prays. We find as a result of that prayer in verse 43 that an angel came and strengthened Him. And our Savior did all this as He came for the sinner. Do you realize today that He never came for the saint, but He came for the sinner? Because He loves you and me. He cares for us. There's a verse we find in the Bible that just always has gripped my soul. He's actually looking at the city of Jerusalem. And it says he had compassion on the multitudes. Think about that word compassion for a moment. It's an interesting word because the word come, when you put that as a prefix to a word, means with. Passion. We often use the word love, but here's a word that seems to have a greater strength to it, passion. Passion seems to bring with it some tremendous desires from within. And it says that he looked upon them with compassion. Jesus loves us. Amen. The song we sang at the very beginning. Some would say, well, that's a little kid's song. But may I remind you that many adults, if not most, they like singing that. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I learned it, our book said different, little ones. Wow. God loves all of us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the lover of my soul. He is the one who came into this world and left all the glories of heaven. Today, my Savior is exalted to the right hand of the Father. Today He be in the position that He so deserves. And yet here upon earth, He has never been granted that position. One of these days, I believe in the very near future, we're going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before that day of His actual coming to this earth, I believe that the trumpet's going to sound and you and I, which are saved, are going to be taken up together to be with the Lord in the air. Can you hear that trumpet sound? I mean, seriously. The shout is made and instantly, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be ushered into the presence of Jesus. If I understand the Word of God correctly, 7 years later, after a period of tribulation here upon the earth, my Savior comes back. In Revelation chapter 19, it describes Him as coming back on a white horse, there meeting the armies that have gathered against His people Israel, several million strong in the valley of Megiddo, and our Lord comes back and He but speaks and slays them with the power of His Word. And the Bible describes upon His vesture, it says, King of kings and Lord of lords. And my Bible teaches me, every eye shall behold Him. And those who have cursed His name and those who have rejected Him, on that day, the Bible says, every knee shall bow. And my Savior will have the honor that is due His name. Before that grand and glorious day takes place, you and I as His people, if we know Him as our Savior, if we have received what He has done for us, certainly ought to be giving Him the honor and the glory. Too often, we're not like Him. Too often it's about us and not Him. Too often, rather than praising Him, we're complaining of our lot in life. Too often we go through this world in discouragement and distraught. When we ought to be excited about Him. Amen. He is God. He is the Savior. He is the one to whom we can go. He is the one that we can cry out to. And He will save us from our sins. When we behold Him and see Him as He is, when we recognize the sinless, matchless Son of God, when we can finally, as John the Baptist, look and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," and understanding and realizing that the Lamb that was to be picked out had to be a pure, had to be that which was spotless, had to be that which was an example of the best of the best. And this is God's best given to us. And when we see Him as He is, we begin to see ourselves as who we are. All of those things we described this morning is not a picture of us. Matter of fact, it's quite opposite, isn't it? That's why we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's why as we behold Him and we receive Him into our hearts, He begins to do the changing. He begins to do the molding and to make us like unto Himself. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so God is doing that process in hearts and lives of these people. He's a glorious God. How does He do that? How does He do that? We have a gentleman in our church. He's not here today. Most of you know Larry. Larry's a carver. Maybe there's a better name for that. I don't know. How many have ever seen any of his work? Some of you have. I'm not talking that he takes a stick and makes a little arrow out of it. This guy takes knives and out of a piece of wood makes some very elaborate pieces. In order to get that, that knife has to be sharp. Those rasps has to be without dull edges. And as he begins to cut on that wood, and as he begins to hasp away and to file it down to smooth it all out, it becomes a beautiful object for the delight of the eye. May I suggest to you today that that's what God is doing in our lives? Can I say to you today that there are those hard places in our life where God's taking that knife and He's cutting some things out? Can I say to you that perhaps even what happened to you yesterday or this week was the file of God seeking to rasp off and to sand away some rough edges? Why? Because He wants to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, not only is God wonderful in saving our soul, our Savior is wonderful because He wants to what? Make us like Himself. And one of these days, when that trumpet sounds, in the twinkle of an eye, we find we're all going to be changed. Some of us glow right now. Some of it's in process right now. But the finishing work will come in an instant. And on that trip that's in the twinkle of an eye, we will be slacked and shining beautiful in the presence of God. Why? Because we had a Savior who was willing to allow God's will to be His. To follow Him, no matter what it was. To allow Him to work, even though He knew the agony that was to follow. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Father, today, work in our hearts. Lord, too often it's about our will. Too often it's about our will to find our own way of salvation, our own way of sanctification. Oh God, today may we be a people who just, like the Lord Jesus, allow our will to be molded into yours. Work in hearts and lives today. Glorify yourself in our lives. May you be exalted there. Do that work which only you can do. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at. It's an invitation time. Perhaps this week God's been doing some work in your life and you've been not letting it happen. Maybe you need to come down here and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I just give it to you. Maybe you're here today and, well, you've never put your trust in Christ, the one who came and did all that he did.